That's a great question.
Here I am as Miss Kentucky, competed in Miss America, and it's been really an amazing journey.
So in Lexington in particular, we mostly resettle Congolese, and we have the largest population of Congolese within Kentucky.
And he said to me, science is cool, learning is fun. That's what we do.
All the schools in Kentucky present a power word presentation, which talks about verbal bullying, negative perceptions in hip-hop, how to challenge our peers when they use negative words. At the end of the day, words do matter, and it's a catalyst for action.
That's a great question. That's a powerful question. That's a question that I hope that all of us will continue to ponder on.
We'll be getting back out to playing live, but some places that I do like playing here in Lexington.
I tend to focus on local issues, local people, you know, local being Kentucky.
So we've got these various battles raging between the Attorney General and the governor, and in the background is the former governor.
This is a myth that is really common.
Mountain Dew is not a contraceptive.
Probably is going to cause a pretty bad yeast infection.
An extreme yeast infection.
If you can't deep fry it, spray paint it gold.
Now, will the animal send you like a postcard as a thank you with a little paw print on it?
Who's at fault more, men or women?
The vetting process. You already asked that? Okay.
It works. Grand piano.
The opinions expressed on Bluegrass Bios by its hosts or guests do not necessarily reflect those of management, Lexington Community Radio, or its board of directors.
If it's Friday and you've just escaped a 10,000-year loop of the same day over and over again and still don't understand what makes a groundhog a credible meteorologist, then it's Bluegrass Bios on WLXU LPFM, Lexington Community Radio. The Benjineer is here.
Hey, Kyle.
I'm Kyle. Chuck C. will replace me for the 1 o'clock hour as part of what I believe to be a long-term plan to replace me as a citizen, a son, and eventually an autonomous being. Our first guest today is Farmer Brown, the MC. His hip-hop-themed productions teach agriculture and natural sciences to elementary-age students in low-performing schools in urban communities. He's emceeing the Fresh OP Urban Gardening Workshop Series at the Lyric Theater starting this month. Chuck C. will be interviewing his 2nd, 5th, and 43rd alternate personalities about their new improv troupe.
But first,
we have a white whale as a guest now, Ben. I am Ahab, you are Queequeg.
Yes.
If you're okay with that.
I'm fine.
All right, Queequeg. We have our white whale is Lexington Herald leader, editorial cartoonist, Joel Pett.
Yeah.
We've been fortunate to get many of the guests that we've desired.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's been really, really nice.
In particular from the Herald leader, Tom Eblen. That was one email to get him on.
Yeah. Jack Brammer was one email.
Jack Brammer was another great guy. We've had several others whose names escape me. I apologize to them all. But
more than six. So at our age, we can't be expected to remember that many things.
So that kind of leads into this. Joel Pett has received two unanswered emails, one from myself and now one from Chuck Clenny. So I am putting out a call to who I saw this man speak after the at UK after the bombing of that of the French.
Oh, the Charlie Hebdo.
Charlie Hebdo. And he was talking about the place of satire in society and the protection that satire as an editorial cartoonist, you would expect that view. But he was very eloquent in his argument, and I find his cartoons to be they're kind of right down the middle. They're not like your New Yorker type political cartoons that go for this ultra non sequitur type of humor. It's politically minded or socially minded,
sure.
with a twist. But I don't want to necessarily ask him a lot of questions about his cartooning. I want to talk to the man about sort of the viewpoints that and where he sees humor in all of the pain that a lot of America is going through right now. And And he's a humorist, and that those guys would get me every time. So Joel Pett, we're calling you out, my friend. we want you on the show, and I will email you day and night until you get. But see, that's the thing. Apparently, email is a dead end.
Oh. Have you called?
With a phone?
With a phone. In your talking voice.
Yeah.
Sounds.
I don't know that they have... are there phones? Numbers?
They have phones.
Well, what do you
they
do? You call the desk at...
You'll call front desk and ask for, you know, whatever section.
You're right. I need to break out those journalism skills.
Or just
skills.
Say, yes, Joel Pett's office, please.
And track this
and
man
say,
down.
Who are you with? I'm with a radio station and real live radio show, and we want to have him on and talk to him about... being Joel Pett.
He's a Lexington institution. So
yeah, absolutely.
We're coming for you. Now, as far as guests go, you were telling me before we went on air that you had your crosshairs on another...
On local ACLU chapter. I want to get the ACLU on. Anybody from the Mountain. And I want them to have a show on the station. And I want Lexington Community Radio to sort of be ground zero for all the stuff we're going to have to do over the next 2 to 4 years.
Now what, even in the last week since I've seen you, a lot has happened. What is your impression of, you can start wherever you want. Certainly the travel ban has been the most publicized of the executive orders.
Yeah, I don't know where you start because it's all so ridiculous. And the travel ban against countries, people from countries, none of those countries have produced the terrorists that have attacked us. 16 of the 19 hijackers on 9/11 were from Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is not on that list. A couple of the hijackers were from Egypt. Egypt's not on that list. We have students abroad, United States citizens, can't get back. We have doctors doing charity work abroad, can't get back in. The whole it's just massively ridiculous. And who knows where to start? And firing the Attorney General when the Attorney General probably only had 4 days left at her job to begin with. And we think, what recourse do we have? The law.
Right.
Taking people to court and suing them by name. Or they're testing the waters to see how much they can get away with, saying, well, let's ban 8 countries from traveling to the U.S., and then we'll see if people will settle for 2, if they'll compromise for 2 when 0 is acceptable. I mean, even George W. Bush didn't pass anything, didn't try anything like this. He had an outreach program to Islam. He had imams over to the White House. I wish he would speak out on this a little bit. He's gone into radio silence. That would mean so much if George W. Bush would come out and say, no, this is stupid.
We were sitting here a couple of weeks ago, or at least I was saying ultimately, like, hey, let's see, you know, maybe it was a lot of promises and bluster and all this stuff, but he has come out of the gate with this.
That's what really bothers me, and the thought that's occurred to me over and over and over again is, why can't people on my side of the aisle have this kind of guts and this kind of gumption to do what he's doing? Why does our side of the aisle get so flaky and so touchy-feely with a lot of this stuff?
Well, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who's a graduate student in foreign policy. Ultimately, it's a diplomacy program. And, it ultimately comes down to a... you know, the right and the Republicans are a stronger party for whatever reason you want to put it. That sense of ideology corresponds well to congregation and unity. And you can kind of, when you're the intellectual in the room, which if we're talking about liberals, you can make that correlation fairly quickly. And not saying that anyone who's right wing or Republican or conservative is dim,
but
you're talking about the more
The mindset maybe of each side. Liberals are, everybody's unique. Let's listen to everybody. Let's take everything in, and that doesn't correspond to hive mind very well.
Exactly. Ultimately, what is scary is how this is becoming not divisive in a chat forum way, in a street level way. And that quick, did you see the video of the FedEx driver?
No, I haven't seen
okay,
it.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, so this is, and I am of the mind that if you are burning anything in the streets, be it a flag or a DVD player, you should probably be arrested for setting things on fire.
Well, in the middle of the street, yeah.
Yeah. But there was a FedEx driver still in uniform, caught on video, running through this crowd of protesters who were burning flags with a fire extinguisher, blasting the people with the burning flag, and then ultimately taking them, like barreling through them, this big fullback looking dude. And it's just like, there is this animosity is coming out every day. And to me, it's now not an if, but a when there will be that one inciting incident that everybody can rally around and really give this thing a which side are you on. You know, there, a lot of people I talk to, man, generally pacifist type people who say, like, look, if it comes down to drawing the line, like, I know what side I'm on, type of thing. And from both sides, you know, listening to people before this election, you know, even a couple of years before this election, the stockpiling of, and this is not fiction, the stockpiling of weapons by people who have been waiting for this sort of division to take shape is probably more frightening than you.
You're more afraid of citizens against citizen rather than citizen against the government.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're talking about some pretty basic things here. Freedom of religion, freedom to, you know, immigrate in a country and even speak your own language in a country that's in basically its early adolescence as far as nations go.
Well, that's what you got to hope for. We're in our adolescence, and this is sort of that rebellious, self-destructive kind of wild phase that we're going through, and that we'll start talking to each other again and realize that we shouldn't be fighting with each other. We should be fighting the people who are screwing us over. One thing to keep an eye out for is once Donald Trump starts pinning fake medals to his chest, then we're in big trouble. That's a sign.
That's a
big turning point. Medals, maybe sunglasses, a stupid looking hat. That's the turning point we all need to keep an eye out
for. And ultimately that Immortan Joe mask. All right. This is Bluegrass Bios. I'm Kyle. He's Ben. We're about to have on Farmer Brown, the MC, also known as Trevor Claiborne, maybe the other way around there. He's a hip-hop-themed agriculture and natural sciences performer. We'll figure out what that means next on Bluegrass Bios.
Supermercado Aguas Calientes grocery stores offer domestic and imported quality products with an ample selection of fresh produce and meats. Aguas Calientes offers international money transfer services as well as domestic and international phone services. Supermercado Aguas Calientes No. 2 is located at 459 New Circle Road in Lexington, Kentucky. Supermercado Aguas Calientes No. 5 is located at 2220 Nicholasville Road in Lexington. For more information, you can call 859-275-2121. Lexington Community Radio thanks Supermercado Aguas Calientes for supporting True Community Radio.
Por su historia y su leyenda y sus viejas tradiciones de la noble tierra azteca, corazón de corazón.
Live the American dream. Choose a new home that uses less water. If your next home bears the WaterSense label, you'll save about 10,000 gallons per year. That makes sense for you, for our environment, and for the generations to come. Even if you're not in the market for a new home, you can join the We're for Water campaign. For more information, visit www.epa.gov/watersense.
Hi, I'm Ashley Smith from the Lyric Theater, and you're listening to WLXL, LP, FM, Lexington Community Radio.
We are back on Bluegrass Bios on WLXU LPFM Lexington Community Radio. Again, I'm Kyle. He's Ben.
Hey, Kyle.
And we're in studio with Trevor Claiborne, also known as Farmer Brown the MC.
Ski-woop.
He's a hip-hop-themed agriculture and natural sciences performer teaching elementary students in urban communities. His workshop series, Fresh OP Urban Gardening, starts February 11th, and we'll figure out all of what that is. First of all, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Good. Welcome. So I have a couple of questions here first before we kind of get into the meat of the operation. What vegetable is considered the most hip?
Yeah, what's the
I guess it would depend on what region you're asking.
Okay, all right. Well,
I would say cucumber.
A cucumber.
Yeah,
artichokes.
Yeah,
those are
cucumbers.
Those are cool.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Cucumbers are cool.
All right. Hang on. Write that down. What methods of urban agriculture do kids find most fly?
So since I've been presenting since 2015 now, and amazingly, a lot of kids don't know the difference between produce versus something that's, you know, on a store shelf. But I think they're most, they like fruits the most, like strawberries, different berries.
Okay. Explain to the audience who Farmer Brown the MC is.
And so, do you want the long story or the short story?
Give us a long story.
All right, so...
We don't have commercials.
You know, I'm a native of Lexington, Kentucky. Grew up north side Lexington, went to Bryan Station High School, graduated, went to Northern Elementary. And so, you know, for the first, you know, the developmental years of my life, from about 15 to 25, I just knew I was going to be a hip-hop artist. That was all I could see for my future. That was all I cared about. My group, Bonafide Circle, Mine Old Slick, and Finest, and Vernon Morrell, you know what I'm saying? We had a group, Bonafide Circle, and we moved down to Atlanta, Georgia. We worked with Rob Jackson and Black Coffee, both of which had record label deals at the time. And so we were down there about 4 years, pretty much just promoting. You know, we were working on our own solo projects. And I'm a Kentucky boy at heart, so I came home. So when I came home, you know, I had done some custodial work and some odd end jobs, and I came to the point about 2008 with some of my partners, Hero KY, that, you know what, I need to get into something else because this rap thing ain't gonna happen. And, you know, around that time, I started maturing a little bit, wanting to, you know, have a little bit more positive influence in my community. So it was around that time I enrolled at BCTC in the Environmental Science and Technology program. So one of the things that I noticed when I got in there, a lot of the people in there didn't look like me. Actually, none of them did. And so, you know.
Chinese. No, I'm kidding.
But, yeah, and so I noticed that, and it perplexed me. You know, I'm a type of person like a challenge, so I'm like, it can't be this hard. And so, you know, going through it, it's like, it's exciting. Like, I felt like I almost had a second childhood when I got an environmental science program. So long story short, I graduated from BCTC in 2013 and got a scholarship to Kentucky State University, a STEM scholarship. And so I chose to do agriculture. And, you know, like I said, that was like I got a whole new take on life, just learning, you know, all the basic aspects. And I'm a non-traditional student, so I kind of felt silly all of the things I didn't know about agriculture. You know, one of the things I learned that the average family is three generations away from a farm. And if you know, the basics of any economy is food, clothing, and shelter, and all of which, you know, come from agriculture. So I was just amazed about how much I didn't know. And so getting to how Farmer Brown came about. And so I have some little nieces, and I always like to tell the story. We were eating hamburgers one day, and I asked her, I was like, where do you think this hamburger comes from? Because I'm the type of person, once I learn something, I tell everybody around me about it, right? Yeah. So she thought it grew on a tree. You know, it was
how old is she?
She's six now, but she was four at the time.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, we got a good laugh out of it. But like I said, you know, I'm going to class every day hearing how important, you know, this aspect of our society is. And I got to thinking, well, why is it that I don't know much about this? Nobody ever told me not to learn about it. You know, my mother, she had gardens at the house, but, you know, I didn't think much of it. But it was brought to my attention, only two out of every 100 farmers in America are African-American. And like I said, this was kind of with the experience I'd had when I had gone to BCTC and noticed there wasn't that many African-Americans involved in environmental science. So like I said, digging deeper, I had to think to myself, when I was a kid, why didn't I take more interest? And when you think about, I don't know if you've ever seen Roots and you know, different productions. So they typically depict African Americans in a, that's not something a kid watching would say, yep, I want to grow up and do that, right? And so my thing was, at that age, what would have made me interested in it? And so I had already been a musician, and I was being funny, actually, to my niece. You know, I call him a little fairy goat. But, you know, I made up a little song called Chicken Leg Shuffle for it, you know, just basically talking about basic things about farming. And I had a professor at Kentucky State University, Dr. Charlie Collins. He said, hey, Trevor, you know, this might be a good research project because I had a practicum project I needed to do. And so the study was, you know, would hip-hop productions, you know, given the same information that, you know, any other educational production would give, would hip-hop productions in the background make a difference in how well kids retain this information? And so initially I thought, okay, yeah, you know, a lot of black kids, or, you know, rap music, that's who's going to like it. But through my presentations, I've been everywhere from Russell Springs, Kentucky, where it's 98% white, to Ashtabula, Ohio, to Southside, Chicago. And this, you know, this is a wide demographic. And one of the overwhelming things, takeaway, even in the rural area, these kids are detached. You know, when I talk to some of the farmers down in Russell Springs, it's depressing because the average farmer is in their mid-60s. Mm. And so my thing, you know, across the ethnic boundary, like all of us need to eat. You know, all of us are going to get, you know, old one day. And I would like to think people my niece's age understand a little bit more about food than what she did. And so that's pretty much the energy behind the Farmer Brown MC character. It's pretty much a mix between Sesame Street and Snoop Dogg.
So how did you, when you went to BCTC, how did you become interested in, why did you decide toward environmental sciences versus anything else? Like you were saying, you're a custodian. Anything you can do to make your life better at that point, why do you gravitate toward environmental sciences?
So going back to the custodial thing, even with doing the music, we used to do a lot of shows, a lot of, you know, fun life. But the custodial work seemed like one of the most, it doesn't pay good at all, right? But it seemed like one of the most fullest jobs. Like, I knew any day I go to work, I don't feel bad when I go to bed about what I did. I cleaned. You know, like, who can get mad about cleaning, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, once you start hearing about things about the environment, you know, climate change, you know, pollution, it's really pretty much the same principle. And so I would like to think of myself as more of like an environmental custodian.
Oh,
So it's all of the, it's like the political conversations, the kind of inconvenient truth sort of thing. All the, this climate change stuff, this got you thinking about the science of the planet?
Absolutely.
Okay,
I'm a part of the planet. You know, regardless of my political, religious, we're all a part of the planet. You know, like grass can't take itself out of the ground. It's a part of it. And so, you know, functional ecosystems, everything works together, you know, within a certain pattern to, you know, keep things going, basically.
So it's important, I guess, to bridge that gap between city kids and farming just to understand the origin of their foods, right? Because we go to supermarkets, right? You go through the frozen food aisle, and what do you get? You just get a lasagna or whatever without any kind of an idea where it comes from. How have the kids that you've taught, and these are elementary age kids, right, about your niece's age?
Yes.
How have they taken to this, I guess, origin story of everything they're eating every day? Do they eat it up, for lack of a better term?
So one of the things, like, I'm assuming, yeah, it's just going to be these kids, but it's a lot of adults that are just as detached. And so, you know, I like to have a discussion with my own, you know, going, once again, when I was a kid, I wouldn't want nobody just wah, 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 talking to me. And so I try to have a discussion when I present. Now, I ask them questions like, did you know that any store you go to in any city has just about 3 days' worth of food? So in the worst case scenario, and I'm an optimist, but you still got to be a realist. In the worst case scenario, how would you eat? And it amazes me the amount of, you know, eyes looking up that's just confused. And, you know, these are things that people take for granted. You know, I go through the process of, first, let me bring it up to this. So do you understand that the economic implications of agriculture is what I'll tell them? Because a lot of these kids think of sports and entertainment as big money makers. So in 2014, you know, I like to tell them sports, entertainment, all the singers, rappers, everything combined generate about $290 billion. And that same year, agriculture, fishing, farming, and forestry generated $488 billion. mining and extracting generated $600 billion in science and technology, and this all still deals with the environment, generated $1 trillion. So my thing is, hey, if you can think about this as cool early, you know, you might not want to get your hands dirty. Like me, I like to get my hands dirty, but, you know, some of these kids don't really.
You put a little dollar sign by it, and right, all and of it, a sudden numbers become interesting. Yeah. Do you talk at all about food waste? Because we've had some people on here, and I know there are actually recently a bunch of PSAs running nationally. We're wasting 40%
of all food grown in North America goes to waste.
That means if you're looking at 10 French fries, four of those are going to get thrown in the garbage, or 10 hamburgers. Do you talk to the kids about that?
Absolutely. And so that same dynamic, I'm glad you brought that up. So this goes back to those truckers we see. You know, we ride along the street. It's a lot we take for granted. You know, mm-hmm. that's how we get the food to these stores. And I let mm-hmm. the kids know these are jobs. You know, there's somebody with that has it fixed their brain. They've gone and got educated. They've gone and learned something, how to work the logistics of getting this from point A to point B. You know, the food, this 40% food that goes to waste, it's not necessarily because of hate or political or whatever. It's mm-hmm. it's not getting from where it's grown to the people that need it. And so this is why, you know, education and programs like this Fresh Shop are important. You know, when you think about sustainability, because, you know, you can think about it on a local level or a broader level. You know, first it has to be economically viable. You know, it has to be environmentally friendly and has to be socially accepted. Like, it could be environmentally friendly and economically viable, but if the society as a whole, the communities as a whole don't see it as such, it's useless. And so this is why, you know, it's good to take it not just to the inner cities, but rural communities as well. Like, hey, these are assets. These are resources that are available. You know, a lot of the schools, you know, we have extension agencies that, you know, kind of outreach. But, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. You know, we're really digitally inundated right now. And so, you know, there's a balancing factor to be done.
And how about food insecurity, which is one of my least favorite terms out mm-hmm. right now, because it's starvation. Let's not call that. And what's really interesting about it is you can meet, especially in children, you can meet a child who's overweight but starving mm-hmm. because they're not getting any nutrition. They're just eating fat, and the fat is just piling on top of them. So it's kind of counterintuitive.
Is there a nutrition element to what?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And so people like to think, you know, the people say, oh, well, you know, it costs too much to eat healthy. But you could actually go to a store, spend about $1 on a head of lettuce, get some tomatoes. You know, I still eat meat. You know, I try to cut down. But, you know, you can get this for what you pay for that. You have 3 days worth of a good, healthy salad versus you pay the same for a value meal that's, you know, probably going to give you rot gut. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so, yeah, I definitely talk about the health aspects. You know, a lot of these kids, they have younger parents who have diabetes, high blood mm-hmm. pressure, have all these symptoms and obesity. And like I said, once it goes into educating, like, hey, you know, it doesn't cost that much to eat healthy. You know what I'm saying? I've learned just working at the farm, you know, there's a healthy aspect of just working, you know, moving mm-hmm. your body. Mm-hmm. So,
Trevor Claiborne in studio with us, a.k.a. Farmer Brown, the MC. he's a hip-hop artist. He's a agriculture and health nutrition educator. He's also a senior at Kentucky State University. You're so deep into this subject, and you talk about it in such a sophisticated way. You've got statistics. You're talking about programs. How does your character that you perform as, how is that tailored to this younger audience? How do you make this palatable to them, again with the puns? I don't know.
A B C D E F G music.
Yeah.
If I ask anybody, random person on the street, say your alphabet, they're going to say it in a melody.
Sure.
And
sure.
So, you know, it's introducing these terms and concepts with a melody behind it, culturally identifiable. I know when I was in third grade, you know, the first time other than Roots or one of those shows, the first time I saw anything that had to do with farming, it'll be, you're on the farm. And so naturally, you know, if I've been listening to rap, I think at that time it was NWA and groups like that. If I've been listening to that, then me hearing that in class is not even going to catch my attention. I'm going to go back to disrupting, right?
So some of this has to do with the association between farming and the banjo, you think? And then that sort of old bluegrass style music.
Absolutely.
And if we associate it in their minds with a different kind of music that they like. Farming doesn't have to be dueling banjos. It can be
exactly
maybe NWA, if you want.
My thing is farming, you know, my thing with the kids is mainly farming. There's no face of farming.
Right.
Farming can be anybody. It's not just farming. You know, there's conservation jobs that are very important for legal-minded people. You know, there's a lot of things going on now. Like, we're going to need some great legal minds here in the next few years, right?
Oh, yeah, that was a topic of conversation at the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, we see what's happening with education. So, you know, we're going to have to come up with some innovative ways of educating because this is important. You know, like I said, past political ideologies or anything, we all have to eat. You know, I can be as political or religious or whatever as I want, but if I'm hungry, none of that means anything. And so it's most important that these kids are at least learning. It's introduced to them in a way to where, okay, by the time they get to high school and they're deciding, you know, what they're going to do with their life. Am I going to go to college? Am I going to go straight out in the workforce? It's just introducing like, hey, this is another avenue. You know, from my perspective as a non-traditional student, like I've spent hungry days. Right. So I understand the concept of being hungry, you know, going to class, not being able to think. And so I'm like, hey, there's a way you can fix that. You know, do you have a backyard? Matter of fact, you know, going to this lyric theater. Hey, if you just have an area, you know, you can grow something, you know, barrel gardens, for example. And so it's just expanding a person's mind to understand the options. You know, we don't always have to be victims. There's a lot that we can do about the perceived issues that we're dealing with.
And do you also get into maybe sodas and water?
I don't drink soda. I don't promote it.
Yeah, me neither. Well, you know, I think one of the ways that other countries are sort of getting ahead of us in education is they're making sure that their kids are well fed. Mm-hmm. And lunchtime isn't, you got 25 minutes, scarf is down as much food as you can in 25 minutes. It's a class. It's an hour long. There are meals. They have courses, and they do stuff like that. After you're done talking to the kids, do they then go to their cafeterias with new eyes on the food that's sticking to their plate? I'm just thinking back to my own elementary school meals about 30 years ago or so, which just they were not good. They were not good at all.
So going to the research phase of it, and so this is why the program at the Lyric is important. So I've had overwhelming success, you know, engaging them. You know, they like it. They get up and dance when I'm presenting it. But when I leave these schools, when I leave these different places where I present, I'm like, man, you know, I've left. They might have thought about this for a second, but next, you know, new thing that comes along, they'll forget. And so it's important to have consistent just events. It's just, you know, and this is something that doesn't cost much, just facilitate events where you can keep reinforcing the idea of use your hands to produce something. And so the goal is, like some of the kids I work with as far as the productions, yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, you talk about food a lot. And so they think about it. And so if I can get you to think about it, you know, that's progress. And so moving on, I wouldn't really have my results until 10 years from now. And there's an influx of kids from, you know, Eastern Kentucky. There's an influx of kids from, say, West End Louisville, East End Lexington that's suddenly, you know, really taking agriculture serious. So it'll be then when I'd know, you know, if what I'm doing now is working. But it's getting their attention, but a lot of entertainment gets their attention. So there's a lot of work to be done.
Trevor Claiborne in studio with us. Trevor, I want to put you on the spot a little bit. We didn't talk about this beforehand, but continuing on, you know, you're talking about your music. I would like to play for our audience one of your songs that is geared toward agriculture. And would that be okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I have a video right now on YouTube called Grow Harder.
Grow Harder. And what's that about?
Pretty much just the basic process introducing concepts like photosynthesis, sunlight, pollinators, the concept of tilling, getting fiber, you know, the different things we get from agriculture.
All right, so we're going to play that song right now. We'll be right back with Trevor Claiborne.
Sun. goes? You're invited to Bacana's Nightclub Wednesday through Sunday to enjoy dancing and karaoke with the best of DJ Rios. We're located at 907 Winchester Road, Lexington, Kentucky. For more information, call 859-684-9895.
Would you like help preparing to take the United States citizenship exam? Kentucky Refugee Ministries offers free citizenship classes 3 times a week for anyone preparing for the United States citizenship exam. Classes are held Mondays and Thursdays from 6 to 8 p.m. at First Presbyterian Church downtown and on Wednesdays from 4 to 7 p.m. at Global Lex Center on Versailles Road. For more information, please call 859-226-5661 or visit www.kyrm.org.
Tune in to Urban Conversations
every Monday and Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. on 93.9 WLXU.
Come sit in the lounge with us. I'm your host, Janice.
And I'm your host, Future, where your voice matters.
Any questions? Shout out to all the bees and all the pollinators. They have to reproduce the plants when we need them later. On the farm, we grow the food.
By Farmer Brown, the MC, aka Trevor Claiborne, in studio with us. He's a senior agriculture student at Kentucky State University, non-traditional. He's a grown butt man. I don't know. Sorry, excuse me. And his performance identity started as a research project and has blossomed into a full touring act to elementary schools all over. His workshop series, Fresh OP, Urban Gardening, begins February 11th and goes through May. That was really cool. I get the Sesame Street meets Snoop Dogg vibe deal. It was a cool, like, comprehensive, lyrically going through. And the video, people should check it out. It's on YouTube. You're at the Kentucky State Research Farm,
the Kentucky State University Harold R. Benson Research Farm,
with kids dancing, very reminiscent of a well produced music video you'd see early in the morning on Nickelodeon or something like that.
It looks good.
Ben, you have a B question?
Yeah, we were talking while the song was playing, and it was mentioned in the song about bees, and you were telling me, was it 1 out of 3 bites?
1 out of every 3 bites of food. On any meal we eat, 1 out of every 3 bites, a bee is responsible for pollinating something, whether it's, say, if it's the beef or the cow has to eat something. And that something grows because the bee.
Oh, so not only the food that we're eating.
Directly.
So it's they're needing to pollinate the food that becomes food that we eat.
Absolutely.
So they're just all over the place.
Absolutely.
So the kids love the character.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Good. So bring it back to the workshop series that you've got going on at the Lyric you mentioned. It's the first one is on February 11th, correct?
February 11th.
It's a Saturday. Registration started on the 1st.
Today.
Today is Wednesday.
When we're
listening to this on Friday.
Right.
Damn you! You spoiled the illusion, Trevor. I'm just kidding, man. But how do people register for your workshop?
And so we'll have a online registration up either later today or tomorrow morning, or they can contact me directly at trevor.claiborne, trevor.claiborn at kysu.edu.
Okay, and what will the online registration be? Where will people be able to do that?
And so it'll be online. It'll be a link on the Farmer Brown the MC Facebook page, as well as the Kentucky State University page and the Lyric Theater Cultural Arts page.
Okay, fantastic. Three ways that you can get registered. So what specifically will you be teaching at these workshops?
And so it's an 8-part series. And so the first one will pretty much just be an introduction, you know, give all the participants and people involved just an overview of what the program's about. Basically, the concept is being able to grow food in small spaces. And so the kids will actually get a hands-on activity in barrel gardens, where they'll create barrel gardens, straw bale gardens. I don't know if you've seen them.
I saw them when I was researching, kid, but explain to the audience how a straw bale garden works.
A straw bale, so you can treat it with different nutrients and minerals, and you can actually grow food in there versus using soil if you happen to be in a place where it isn't that much soil.
Oh, what? So where you spray it down?
And yeah, so, depending on, you know, like some nitrogen, you know, just different fertilizer. Like you can use that as a matrix and to replace soil. If you don't have, if you're not in a place where there's soil, you can actually use this straw bale.
And the I saw the vertical gardens too.
And so vertical gardens, you can use bottles, and this kind of goes into the you know, recycling. Like you can actually use old pop bottles. You know, you have an irrigation system going through it, and you can grow vertically. So say if you're in a small area like a porch, like you can literally produce, you know, a few rows, which you could get in the horizontal garden, you could produce it on the wall.
Right.
So I'm looking at a picture of it right now that's on the Lyric Theater website. So that looks like 2-liter bottles that are fastened to the wall.
There's many different designs for them. Okay. So, you know, it being an art center, that's one of the another part of this is getting the kids kind of using the arts to teach the science. So they'll be designing them. I'll be giving them, along with experts from Kentucky State University, be giving them the general idea of this is what you need. You need this to run your water through this to do this for you. Now, use your brain. And then, you know, we have different volunteers to kind of walk them through it. But the whole objective is, you know, instead of us telling them, they're there to touch it with their hands. You know, experience is one of the best teachers. And so our thing is, let me introduce to you what it is, keep your attention long enough for you to do it yourself, and hopefully when you go home, you know, you'll show your friends. Hopefully the parents that come might learn something as well that they can use. So.
And tell me a little bit about the aquaponic garden, just so because I love the word aquaponic. It's my new favorite word.
So basically, you can actually grow lettuces, you know, some leafy vegetables actually grow better. But it's actually a mixed system where you can actually have water, carp, maybe tilapia. You can have that in a little tank, and basically you'll have a pump that pumps the water. It, you know, that's what's watering the plant. But at the same time, you know, the fish poop is what's fertilizing it.
That's crazy.
Oh, that's neat.
It's a mix. Live in a big mixed system. So pretty much agriculture to me is just, it's making a microcosm of the bigger system that we're in.
Wow. And do all 8 parts, are they all going to be, have the same focus, or do you do one method one time, and then the next part you're focused on a different method?
Yeah, so obviously we're in February, so it's not too much you can do outside.
Sure.
So the first part will be preparation. I mean, before you can plant anything, you have to prepare it. And so the raised beds, you know, obviously we'd have to make the frames for those. The aquaponics tanks, we'd have to make the actual tank, construct the tanks before, you know, putting any water or fish in there. The straw bales, you'd have to treat them for, I think, a week and a half before actually using them. And so it's, and then the bottle, the vertical gardens, you know, doing the artwork on them before you actually start planting. It's an ongoing activity. There would be no dull moments.
What's the best time of year to start planting, do you think? Or planting, actually get out and work with the dirt.
Early spring. I would say Kentucky weather, you never know.
Yeah, because sometimes we get into April and it snows for no reason. And then, we got to start over. So
end of February, March. You know, depending on what the weather's looking like. Like, you know, you don't want any frost. You don't want to put anything in the ground if it's still frosting, obviously.
Right.
Trevor Claiborne in studio with us. He is also known as Farmer Brown the MC, a hip-hop-themed agriculture and natural sciences performer teaching elementary students in urban communities. Are you going to be performing at the Lyric during these the workshop?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
I can't say what you said, but yeah.
you say you've been traveling around, and yeah. I read as far as Chicago. To go to elementary schools, is this like your thing now? Are you going to turn into Farmer Brown the MC? Like Flava Flav just became a caricature of himself.
So the funny thing was, even the video you saw, that was just supposed to be kind of like a pilot, you know, a proof of concept. Because I was, you know, going back to the Sesame Street concept, I was thinking like a big head like character, you know. And so I've been pretty much doing the presentations live. But like I said, you know, just for the research part of it, I'm learning like, okay, there's a lot to be done that doesn't necessarily require hip hop. Like use the hip hop, you know, obviously when with the younger kids when it's needed. But really just getting out there, because my actual job, you know, I'm a research assistant, extension assistant at K-State, as well as a farm technician. So Farmer Brown kind of just, it kind of goes with it. You know, it's not like, you know, I want to grow up and be this great Farmer Brown character. But, you know, if it can be used to, you know, inform kids or families about agriculture and just the importance of it, use it.
Well, what would your goals with the character like to be? Would you like to go on a nationwide tour if somebody offered that to you, or worldwide, or see how far you can take this?
So my long-term goal, I want to make like the Motown of educational material. Or Motown or Death Row or No Limit Cash Money of just making education cool. You know, like I said, times are changing as far as how we get educated. And so I feel like, you know, these are things I always try to challenge my fellow hip hop artists and singers around the city. Like, I'm a rapper. You know, mm-hmm. Here's a book right here. Like, these are things you can do. If you can write a verse, then you can write a kid's book. If you can write a kid's book, then you can write something educational. Because, you know, ultimately the kid's education starts in the community. And these is making use of the resources.
I'm sure you know our friend of the show, Divine Karama.
Absolutely, that's my homie.
He's kind of in the same. He doesn't do a lot of agricultural rap unless he's changed his style recently. But it's a positivity based hip hop,
mm-hmm.
And it's that this thoughtful lyricism. It's like you guys are taking it back.
That's where hip hop started. Before, you know, we heard the lesser than. Commendable aspects of it. That's what it was. You know, it was a way of communicating. It was a way of getting information across. Actually, some of the first rap groups were totally, absolutely against what it's for today. And so I feel like it's a cyclical thing. You know, he started around the same time I did. And so he's gone through his phase of growth, just like any one of us, you know, the people in the city that are into hip hop. And so, you know, it's always good for me when I see it turn into positive. That's what makes me still love the art, so to speak.
Is there anybody else that you're aware of that is doing, you know, you, like a niche form of hip hop in this way, this positive form or this teaching form? Is there like a film direction, like a hip hop artist or something like that? You know what I mean? Like, are you aware of anybody else who's taking hip hop in this, you're wrestling it away from the turn up music, besides yourself and Divine, that maybe you want people to be aware of?
I mean, it's so many to name. Truth be told, most of the people I know that do hip hop is more positive. Let's be real. They've done research to know that the average American, we gravitate towards negativity. You know, just like news wouldn't sell too much if it was just talking about, you know, cats sure. getting saved out of trees. So right. That's just nature. So to me, it's just like it's a balancing act. It's a constant balancing act. But there is a man out Colorado. His name is DJ Kavum. He does he's a hip hop gangster or gardening gangster. There was a group I saw a video from Minnesota. They did this is ironic. They did the Hot Cheetos and Takis song that was real popular a few years back. And these are kids, but they did one about agriculture as well. And I know you know the Lox, right?
Oh yeah,
so. Yeah.
So
yeah.
they're big on this vegan tip, and so it's slowly coming around. And so, you know, I'm excited to be a part of it.
All right, one more thing before we let you go, and I want you to talk specifically to our audience here. Tell them why they should go to the Fresh OP Urban Gardening Workshop Series at the Lyric.
Parents, big sisters, big brothers, uncles, aunties, grannies, granddaddies, go to the Fresh Op at the Lyric February 11th through May the 20th to give your children, your students, and even yourself in some situations, hands-on experience in being able to produce your food. That is one of the most liberating feelings, to see a seed turn into something that can be consumed. And I've seen firsthand in the eyes of these children when they put their hands in dirt or when they create something, the elation that they get and the self-confidence that is built in them. And it's a great experience. It doesn't cost anything but your time and gas money to get there.
Farmer Brown, the MC, tell people where they can get more information on their music or to schedule an appearance for you.
So you can go to farmerbrownthemc.com. That's my website. If you wanted to get go directly to me, you can get fbtmc23@gmail.com. For any more information concerning the Fresh Shop at the Lyric, you can my school email is trevor.claiborne@kysu.edu.
Thanks for coming in, Trevor.
Thanks for having me.
That's going to pretty much do it for the first hour of Bluegrass Bios. Stay tuned for Chuck C when he takes over. Ben will be sticking around, as always.
Yeah, I'll stick around. Why not?
They'll be talking to Abraham Mwinda, a Congolese refugee turned Lexington-based musician. I wonder if he has any thoughts on recent events.
Maybe. I don't know if it really applies to him.
That's going
to
be it for me for the week, Lexington. Hopefully, I'll see you next week. Have a good one.